I'm deciding whether I should make you stand. Like, we've been standing a bit, right? But I have to stand still. But we have a long reading from the scriptures today. And so we're going to do this. But before you stand, I want to remind you kind of why we do what we do. We don't just do things for the sake of doing them. That everything that we do in service has a purpose behind it. Whether it be the praising, so that we can find a way to express ourselves. Because praising and singing different types of songs helps, right? Because all of us have been down there when we had our hearts broken. You're listening to the radio and you're just singing the sad songs with it. Usually for me, it's Hank Williams. I'm so lonesome. Good cry. No? No, Mark? Mark's idea of country music is Molly Hatchet. All right, my singing is not that bad. It's also not that good. That's okay. Right, so music helps us to kind of express, even if the words don't fit exactly, right? Like, it works, doesn't it? It helps us to express what we're trying to say, and so that's why we do that. We need to be honest and to express this deep part inside of us. I know we don't want to be, like, emotionally manipulated, but we are emotional people, and so we don't separate our emotions, right, from the way we worship God. We make that a part of it, and we work through that, and we encourage that. And we pray because we want to make sure that we're tuned in to God, right? We don't need to invite God here. For those who don't know, he's already here. He's everywhere. We just need to be attuned to him. And so we do that for our sake because sometimes it's hard for us to focus, right? Like, I know I'm a little bit rough. Like, one of my pet peeves, and maybe this is my generation's pet peeve, probably now, is when you're talking to your children, and they're doing this. How many of your parents see this and it's all you can do to not lose your Jesus on them? You're not being honest if you're not raising your hand, right? We all are. Come on. We love you, but oh my goodness, right? And here's why. Because we know that certain posture changes what we do. And so when we do things, we even change our posture to help us focus on it. When we come into the sanctuary, we have symbols and everything help us to remind us that this is a reverent place, that we gather here for one purpose, that this is the sanctuary, the place where we can safely come before God and worship him together as the church, the gathered people of God. And we do certain things. Yeah, we do certain things to do that, like clapping through the song, right? It brings us into unity when we clap together or when we clap off, we're still good, right? I'm usually the off one. It's okay. And so are some of us others. I'm not looking at anybody. But we do these things to bring us together. And then one of the other things that we do is when we read the scripture, sometimes we'll ask ourselves to stand and to rise before we read the scripture. That way we recognize that what we're about to do here is important, right? I always say, like, if you're going to fall asleep during the sermon, this isn't the part to do it. Wait till we're done with the scripture, then take a nap, right? This part's kind of important. This is the word of God. And so we stand to reposture ourselves and to recognize the importance of that. So I'm going to ask you to stand as we read the word of God, and I'm going to also, before we read the word of God, I'm going to dismiss all the children to go to their children's church with Miss Marty. So all you kids who don't want to hang out and sleep during my sermon, you can go to Miss Marty's class where there's actually snacks and games and fun and whatever Miss Marty's for. I'm fun too-ish, kind of. I can sing. Not Mark, get out, sitting down. I love you guys. This is the right kind of church, I'm just saying. If you guys ever change, I'm leaving. We're going to be in Romans 11, beginning in verse 11. Before I read it, I want to remind us that we've been focusing on the grace of God through these passages. And so as we read the scripture, please just kind of try to make yourself mindful of the grace that Paul is trying to express here. Paul says, "So I ask, have they stumbled so as to fall? By no means. But through their stumbling, salvation has come to the Gentiles so as to make Israel jealous. Now, if their stumbling means riches for the world, and if their defeat means riches for Gentiles, how much more will their full inclusion mean? Now I'm speaking to you Gentiles, and as much then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I glorify my ministry in order to make my own people jealous and thus save some of them. For their rejection is the reconciliation of the world. For if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? If the part of the dough offered as first fruits is holy, then the whole batch is holy. If the root is holy, then the branches are also holy. But if some of the branches are broken off, and you, a wild olive shoot, were grafted into their place to share the rich root of the olive tree, do not boast over the branches. If you do boast, remember that it's not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. I will say branches were broken off so I might be grafted in. That is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand only through faith. So do not become proud, but stand in awe. For if God did not spare the natural branches, perhaps he will not spare you. Note then the kindness and the severity of God. Severity towards those who have fallen. But God's kindness towards you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you will also be cut off. And even those of Israel, if they do not persist in unbelief, will be grafted in. For God has the power to graft them in again. For if you've been cut from what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted, contrary to nature, into the cultivated olive tree, how much more will these natural branches be grafted back into their own olive tree? This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So this passage right here, Romans 11, this part of it, has been one of the most powerful passages in my personal formation as a Christian. I realized in reading it, something hit me right away, that if I was grafted in, then this truly was an act of grace. It's not something that I could do. That I was brought into this other thing where I did not naturally belong. I didn't earn my place there. But even though I didn't earn my place there, what I did want to do was earn my keep. In other words, I felt like it was a privilege for me to be brought into the people of God in such an intimate manner. I wasn't just invited to be an honorary member of God's family. I was grafted into it. And the reality is that there's no real comparison in human relationships. There's nothing so close that changes. Like there's marriage where two people come together and the two become one, but even that falls short of this intimate relationship that God brings us to when he grafts us into it. In fact, maybe the closest that comes to it is this idea of adoption, where I'm not a part of a family, but I'm brought in not to just be there out of pity or to hang there temporarily, but I'm made a part of this family, a very real part of this family. And perhaps that's why even the scriptures use adoption to describe what happens to us when we receive the salvific grace of God. But even that, I think, misses just how intimately we're brought into the family of God. Just how important this is and how close we are. This is one of those things that should matter to each one of us. Because I want us to start on one and understand how relationships work. Every single one of us was born inside of our mother's womb. We were formed there. And arguably, biologically, there's probably no closer bond, right, than a mother and their child inside of them, because you're literally sharing one body, right? What you eat, the baby eats. What the baby hates, you hate. When you sneeze, the baby makes you pee. That's what I've learned about being pregnant, right? Okay, so this is really close. You start off so intimately close. And this is true for every one of us. All of us were born. All of us were part of this intimate relationship. And then the next step is we separate from that body. And sure, the relationship changes, but we're not near as close as we were before, right? And we feel close to them, but as a child starts to grow and progress, it starts to want to become more independent away from its mother. And that relationship actually kind of starts to separate a little bit. And then it starts to find new friends, new things that it likes. He or she finally will grow up and move out, and the relationship gets even further apart. That person will be married to another and start their own family or in their own course of life, right? Like, this is now what I have to do, and I have my own intimate relationship with another. And we grow old, and the older we grow, it seems like the further we separate until death seems to kind of separate us. And it seems for every person on this planet that relationships start intimately close, and all they do is get farther apart as we grow. And it's sad and it's hard, because every person on this planet in it desperately wants to be a part of the relationships. We want to be a close community. That's true for everybody. We just all deal with it differently or don't know how to do it or look at it differently or have different ways. Some people are outgoing. You take Isaac somewhere and all of a sudden Isaac's talking to strangers. Like, I'm pretty sure kidnappers have come up to him and then ran off yelling, stranger danger, right? Because that's how Isaac is. And then there's others like Sienna who was so shy, right? She would hardly get out and talk. We're all different, but we all want community. This is who we are. This is a part of what we're supposed to be. And that's why this passage is so important, because the more I considered this passage, the more my salvation meant to me. It meant that a place was made for me in this family, in this community, and I was intentionally grafted into it. And when we do that, the exact opposite happens. We come as a church, we come from all different parts of life, and we come together, not knowing each other, and over the course of time, we become closer and closer and closer. It's the exact opposite of what happens biologically to us. Instead of starting close and moving apart, we start apart, and we come closer and closer and closer and closer, so that even things like death bring us closer together. A place was made for me in this family, in this community, and I was intentionally grafted into it. God didn't do it because he felt sorry for me or because he was obligated to do this. God did this because he desired me and everything that I am to become an active part in this family, the people of God. And in meditating on this passage, I have never felt so wanted. And like I said, we all, every one of us, want to be wanted. We want to be wanted for who we are, and we want to know that who we are has value in this world. And what I realized was that if God does the grafting, then it is God himself who believes that who I am has value. That he saw fit to take me from this other place and to graft me into his tree. And not only that, if he's grafting me into his people, then he believes that my presence adds value to his people. That's huge. Friends, God wants to graft all of us into his tree. He wants to graft every single one of us into his community. And not because he feels sorry for us or he feels obligated, but because he loves us and knows that we have value to add to the community. You see, who you are brings value to the community. Did you hear me? Who you are adds value to the community. Your presence makes it better. But there are a couple of caveats. See, when a branch is grafted in, it is done for the pleasure and the purpose of the gardener. The gardener sees the value in grafting in the branch. But imagine if that branch doesn't do what it's supposed to do. Imagine if a branch is grafted in and it withholds its fruit. These are the talents that I have, the things I can do, but I'm not going to be using them for the sake of the gardener or for the tree. I'm going to use my talents for my own sake. I'm going to withhold my fruit from the tree. I'm going to withhold my fruit from the gardener, and I'm going to use them as I see fit for myself. If a branch withholds its fruit, the gardener's likely to cut it off. If a branch refuses to be a part of the tree as a whole, then the gardener may cut it off. If I claim that I received the salvific grace of Jesus, but I refuse to be a part of what the tree is doing as a whole, then what I'm doing is I'm wasting space on the tree, and I may be cut off. If the branch refuses to grow as the gardener desires, then that branch may be cut off. If a person chooses to come to Christ, but refuses to grow into a disciple of Jesus, then that person may be cut off from the community of God. I mean, imagine if a branch is grafted into a tree and then it does something even that endangers the tree or hinders the purpose of the tree. That branch would be in great danger of being cut off. Becoming a part of the kingdom of God and then causing dissension amongst God's people or tempting them to participate in sin, Those are acts that can harm the rest of the tree. I honestly can't imagine any gardener that would allow that branch to remain. And what are those branches that produce bad fruit or hinder the purpose of the tree? Do you think the gardener is going to keep them if they're poisoning others? Or if they're desecrating the beauty of the tree by their acts? Because the truth is that this is what we do when we claim to be Christians, but we continue to live in sin. We practice hatred, judgmentalism, when we refuse to help the poor, when we protect ourselves first, when we attack our own, or when we practice the countless methods of hypocrisy that testify to the world that the kingdom of God is really no different than the kingdom of the devil. At least the devil's intentions are clear. Do you think God would allow that person to remain in his tree? If a branch withholds its fruit or refuses to be a part of the tree as a whole, or it refuses to grow as the gardener desires, or does anything that will harm the tree or hinder the purpose of the tree, then the gardener will have to remove that branch, and it will die. It will die because it was never the source of its own life. It came from the various parts of the tree. The life that the grafted branch gets, it comes from other parts of the tree. And as Christians, I think we really need to consider this. The life that we are given comes from the community. The life is transported through the rootstock that connects the branch to the root. We have to receive life from the root. We know that the root is important, and we talk a lot about the root. I'm connected to the root. I'm connected to Jesus. But what we neglect is how we're connected to Jesus. Many times as Christian, and to be fair, in our defense, this is kind of the way we were brought up, is to believe that we were grafted directly into the root, and we are not. That's not how a grafting worked, nor is it the image that the Bible gives. We were grafted into the rootstock, into the main body, into this part that is used as a transport from the root to each of the branches so that it can grow, so that it can produce fruit. The life is transported through the rootstock that connects the branch to the root. And if the branch refuses to participate with the tree or to allow other parts of the tree to feed it, then that branch will die. You cannot be a part of a community with which you refuse to participate. And no Christian can survive without being connected to the body, the church. You see, while being grafted into the tree is an act of grace by God, remaining a part of that tree requires obedience and participation. The local church is the rootstock upon which God has chosen to feed and to nurture you. And if you disconnect, you will eventually die and fall from the tree. There's another thing that I want to point out to you. I want to kind of bring this into an upbeat here. Something that I think is so important for us to grasp, even to embrace. When a branch is grafted into the tree, its distinctiveness doesn't change. In fact, when a branch is grafted into the tree, it brings something new to the tree that increases that tree's beauty. That's the reason it's grafted in the first place. I love this image of this tree that has all these different grafts within it. Because we can look at it and see all the different shades of purple and pink. The grafted branches, and some of them even produce different fruit. The new branches that are grafted into a tree do not lose their distinctiveness. In fact, their distinctiveness adds to the beauty of the tree, and it makes the tree more valuable due to the various fruits that can better feed the world around them. And this isn't just some accident. This is the intention of the gardener. Any gardener knows the distinctiveness of the branches that he grafts into the trees. God knows who you are already. He knows who you are better than you do. And when he invites you into this tree, and he invites all of us to this tree, he knows who you are. It's not a, I don't think you can use me. He knows you, and he wants to use you. And it's not that it's some pity thing, I'll find a spot there for you, little Charlie Brown tree, and make it kind of work. It's, I need you in this tree to make this tree look the way I want it to look, to make it do what it needs to do. Your presence is needed. Your presence is wanted. Your presence is valued. The distinctiveness is the purpose for grafting you in. That thing that makes you different and that thing that maybe even separates you from the rest of the community, that's the reason God wants you, because that's the beauty that he wants in his tree, to bring something to this tree that makes it better. And receiving the grace of Christ, that is salvation, and then being grafted into the tree, that is the people of God, it doesn't mean that you're losing who you are. On the contrary, it means embracing your distinct beauty and potential in order to glorify God. And I feel that too many times we're more concerned in the church with making people into our image. We talk about wanting to make people into the disciples of Christ, but think about how many things we tell them you can't do. Oh, don't be playing that rock and roll music, right? We got to have hymns if we're going to look like the people of Christ. Don't be coming in dressed like that. You've got to do this if you want to be the people of Christ. You can't have tattoos. You can't have a past. You can't do that. You need to do this. Walk this way. Talk this way. Act like this. Sing like this. Live like this. Do this until you actually look like us. And the majority of churches in this world are not making disciples of Christ. They're trying desperately to make disciples of themselves. Look, I love you, but the world doesn't need more of you in it. What it needs is more of Jesus in it. And so instead of trying to make people in our image and neglecting the fact that they're already made in God's image, we need to encourage them to be who God made them to be for his tree, because it's also not ours. There's so many who are afraid that being grafted into God's tree, that is the church, means losing your identity. It doesn't. In fact, it's going to protect, it's going to honor, it's going to nurture your identity. Your uniqueness makes you who you are. Your gifts, your loves, your vision, your imagination, they're all things that God wants to utilize to make his tree more beautiful and beneficial to others. That's you. You are wanted as you are. Do you hear me? You are wanted as you are. And being grafted into the tree will allow you the opportunity to have the fakeness that's in your life pruned away. And so many of us are fake. We've all done that. I want to fit in the community, so I try to do this. I try to act like somebody else. I talk a certain way to try to impress people. I try to do whatever it is to become a part of the group and do this. But those are fake things that we do out of fear. I want to act like I'm tough. I talk loud. I joke a lot. My wife will tell you that most of the time when you find me like really joking, it's because I'm nervous, because I'm being fake. I don't know how to express nervousness or fear, so I start to joke. We have got to stop doing that. You do not need to impress anybody. You just need to be you. And being grafted into the tree allows that to have that fakeness pruned, to have the fear removed so that then you can reflect God's image into the world in this new and unique way. That's it. I love this passage. It reminds me that I am grafted by grace. It reminds me that there's so much to say about what it means to be a Christian, a disciple of Christ, a member of God's family. That it comes with an obligation as well. To actually be real. And that's scary. To be what it is that God wants. And I get it. There are a lot of us who fear, like, if I go in there, I'm not going to make the tree look like that. It's going to be ugly. That's not true. That's the enemy lying to you. You need to just have faith and do those things. And watch as the gardener does what he already knows how to do and make you into an amazing part of his amazing tree. I'm going to invite the team to come back up. And here's what I want us to do. I want us to Why don't you just bow our heads, close our eyes, try not to fall asleep. I'm watching. I'll know if you sleep. I got a sleep meter in here. We should make one, a sleep detector. Ask yourself, ask God, what do you want for me? I think we ask God a lot of times to give us certain things. We ask God all kinds of questions, but He is for you. So ask God, what do you want for me? How do you want to use me in this tree? And please prune away just all those things that make me fake, that make me unreal, so that I can just trust you, the gardener, and be grafted in the way you've called me, because that is grace. What do you want for me? How do you want to use me? Make me into the person that you have called me to be, a genuine human made in the image of God. And pray that He would give us clean hearts, that He would make us pure of spirit, that He would make us into His people, His tree, so that the Imago Dei that is already within you would come out through that beautiful distinctiveness, that curiosity, that quirkiness, whatever it is that is you, and would allow the world to see the face of Jesus in an entirely new way.